This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher. Dustin Sweetelson, of course. Amal Shaw back in Vegas at the South Point. Nick Bruner, DraftKings senior trader, is going to be joining the boys in just about 29 minutes. Looking forward to it. Mike Somich on a Wednesday instead of Friday. He's got plenty. Remember the breaking news as we open the show. Cam Rising is out tomorrow night hosting the Florida Gators. So make sure you take note. Any movement there, Dustin Sweetelson, 4.5. So again, 6 yesterday, hit down to 5.5. So obviously the steam going that way and 4.5 right now.
Yeah, they've played 2 games, by the way, without Rising, it looks like, where he didn't start, I should say. There's games where like he left, but games where he didn't start, according to what I could find, last year won 21-17 at Washington State. They lost in 21, 26-17 at BYU. Both are road games. This is a home game.
Very well. Anything on that one, Amal? And then we'll move on back to 8 days until the NFL. Of course, Kansas City hosting the Lions. 6.5 is the number. I've got 8 questions for you boys. Anything just to finish up the Utah conversation?
No, I think this is a perfect example of a game, Patrick, that's going to be a great in-play opportunity. May not have to take it before it starts, but see how things play out and go from there.
Congrats to anyone who bet 9.5 when it opened in the summer.
Yes, yes, yes. You got a pretty good number now without Rising playing in that matchup, 100%. Okay, let's talk about a team that could be last place in their division, but certainly not the worst team in football. As a matter of fact, you could argue they're going to be right there, top 5, as far as the best defenses in football. However, a lot of this hinges upon the third-year quarterback improving. Are we starting to piece together where we're going? My question is, will the Patriots surprise this year? Their win total set at 6.5. The defense is very, very good. Let's just say this, though. In the 3 years since Tom Brady left New England and went down to Tampa and has since retired, they were 7-9 the first year. The 2 years with Mac Jones, 10-7, made the postseason, boys. 8-9 last year with the defensive coordinator running the offense. I bring that up because, as you take a look, 8 wins last year, 6.5 over at DraftKings on the win total. Will they surprise? It's a brutal division in the East. Of course, I'll give you the number as far as their opportunity in the East. Ramondre Stevenson, officially, he has to carry this offense. He played in just 7 games last year, but he's a stud. No on the Patriots making the postseason is -310 over at DraftKings. So obviously big time favorite there. Do the Patriots potentially surprise? Will they surprise this year, Amal Shaw?
No.
Okay.
No, I thought Dustin was going to go next, but I tell you right now, guys, when you look at the schedule, this team could be 1-7, Patrick, to open the season. They've got the Eagles at home, the Dolphins at the Jets. And this could be an 0 for September for them. Mac Jones right now, the only quarterback officially on the roster. We'll see if they decide to try and go get Colt McCoy or anyone else at this point in time. I just don't see it. You're absolutely right. Ramondre Stevenson's going to have to carry the mail for this team. Ezekiel Elliott, the backup, don't like that situation as well. Devontae Parker, I don't know where you guys come out on him. Not overwhelmed with him being your potential number one there. I just don't like where this team is headed. You mentioned the defense. But I have a ton of question marks with this team. Bill O'Brien now back as an OC here. It should be a better opportunity for Mac Jones than it was last year with Matt Patricia calling the plays. But I have a lot of concerns about the Patriots.
Yeah, the wide receiver position, big questions. Juju Smith-Schuster, they drafted Butte. They don't have a ton of talent outside. I will say this just as a quick aside before we get to your point on the Patriots, big guy. They might be a last place team. How about this? Bill Belichick hasn't finished in last place since Tom Brady was at Michigan. So it would certainly be anomalous to what he's used to in that division and Bill Belichick. Do the Patriots surprise? Low win total, expectations at the basement this year for the Patriots.
Well, I think the win total is absolutely in play here for them to go over it. I think they are going to be an improved team. I mean, just because you have real offensive people calling the offense, the weapons are a little bit better. It's still like really annoying how like Bill Belichick wants to prove to everyone he can do more with less over and over again. And Mac Jones should be better. I mean, I think we're very quick to write off guys like him who pop in their rookie year and then year two, they don't look as great. There is a chance that Mac Jones just isn't that good though. I don't know. We'll find out as it goes on. I didn't love the pick of him. He proved me wrong in his rookie season where I thought he absolutely looked like a franchise quarterback. But there's just a lot of holes in this roster. I think the offensive line is solid. I think the defense is good, not great. They always have a good secondary. That's Belichick's unit that he coaches up a lot. The wide receivers really need to make plays. Like, Juju Smith-Schuster needs to be a number one, and I just don't think he's capable of it at all.
Now, O'Brien's going to be a big upgrade. We can all agree there. What O'Brien did at Houston, they should do it with 30 for 30 on. Like, his team was never that talented. He just won and made the postseason consistently in Houston. Just quickly looking at the market, of course, your Bills in the East plus 120, Amal's Jets at plus 270, the Dolphins at 3-1, and the Patriots, by far your fourth betting favorite to win the East, Amal Shaw at 8-1.
Yeah, I just don't see it for this team, Patrick. You know, I don't have a problem with Mac Jones. I think he's fine. He's just, as Dustin would say, he's just another guy. But to me, when the problem is he doesn't have enough to elevate everyone around him. And then on the flip side, he doesn't have enough talent around him to elevate Mac Jones.
He actually has worse weapons than he had at Alabama.
Yeah, exactly, right? You'd rather have Devontae Smith and those guys, Jalen Waddle and whoever else he had.
But look, the Jets were all thinking all – I'm just going to try to make the case here. The Jets – it's a lot of new pieces, a lot of new parts, and a weirdo for a head coach, if we're being totally fair. The Dolphins, it all hinges on Tua's health. I don't think any of us think Mike White's carrying them to the postseason, even though I think we all agree we like McDaniels and his system. And then the Bills are the class of this league for a while, of this division for a while, but continuously they underachieve at the end.
I'll tell you, based on the odds that Patrick just gave to win this division, I don't think they're that accurate. I think the Jets are far closer to Buffalo with the loss of Tremaine Edmonds on that defense, the lack of running game for Buffalo. I just don't see the consistency. And then who's the second receiver that steps up consistently behind Stephon Diggs? They don't have that. I'm not worried about the turmoil in the offseason. That can get ironed out pretty quickly. But I thought, guys, mentally, the way Cincinnati went in there and stole their lunch, it just seemed like Buffalo mentally was never back and engaged in that football game, and it seems like it's been a carryover effect into this offseason.
Okay, natural parlay into my next question then. Let's do this. The Jets at plus 270 will win the East. Couple of facts. One, they haven't made the postseason since 2010. It's quite a drought. It's 2023. Last winning season was 2015 for the Jets. Year three of Robert Saleh. They were 7-10 last year. It all fell apart late. We know this. On offense and defense, they had the rookie of the years, respectively. The schedule is brutal to start with that first six. 9.5 is the win total on the Jets. 270 in division. To make the playoffs, you're favored at, yes, minus 130. Do the Jets, Amal Shaw, win the East?
I believe they do. Second last year in yards per play given up, tied with the Philadelphia Eagles at 4.8 yards per play. Actually, first overall, so the top two teams there, excuse me. But I think with Aaron Rodgers, with Garrett Wilson, it'll only get better. Think about it. This kid caught for 1,000 yards with Zach Wilson and the plethora of other guys they had in that revolving door at quarterback. You get a healthy Breece Hall. I love the acquisition of Dalvin Cook as a free agent who got released by Minnesota. You mentioned Sauce Gardner being the defensive rookie of the year. I think he's already up there along with Pat Surtain as one of the top two cornerbacks in the National Football League. And then Quinnen Williams is as good of a defensive tackle, not named Aaron Donald. And this team, to me, is very good and very skilled everywhere. My question is, do they have consistency on the second and third wide receivers? If they have that with the guys that Rodgers brought in, Lazard, 78-year-old Randall Cobb, I think this team's going to win the division.
Dustin, the Jets' improvement on defense last year was startling, like legit startling. In 2021, the Jets' defense was awful. The Jets finished last in the NFL in yards and points allowed in 2021. They were just terrible and a turnaround. That's where you have to start looking at Saleh and say maybe there's something here with the defensive turnaround last year in 2022. The expectations, that continues into 2023. Do they win the East?
So, I mean, I've been betting the Jets to win the Super Bowl since before they traded for Rodgers. I thought this was going to happen. I'm very high on this team. However, I don't know how I feel about them winning the division. I think there's a potential with all the new pieces for it to get off to a bit of a slow start. I think they'll be in the playoffs and they'll be a terrifying team for anyone who matches up with them in the postseason. I like the stability that Buffalo has. I like the depth that they have, especially on defense with the way they've drafted over the years. I'm a little higher on Gabe Davis than Amal. I think he's a pretty decent home run hitter, and I'm really, really intrigued by the Dalton Kincaid factor because the reports are he's going to be more of a slot receiver than he is a tight end, and that makes him an absolute mismatch for a lot of defenses. I would actually buy low on the Buffalo post-hype train. I think people are writing them off just because of some failures the last couple of years. But for the Jets specifically, I think the way the schedule shakes out is really difficult. I think you open with Buffalo, you're at Dallas, then you have New England, which I don't care how bad New England is. New England always, you know, gives the Jets trouble. Then you have Kansas City at home, you go to Denver in the altitude, and then you take on Philly before your bye week. I could just see things getting off to a bit of a slower start and coming together later, which is why I wouldn't bet them to win the division.
He graded out mid-pack last year. That is Aaron Rodgers. He is going to be 40 years old, or he may already be 40 years old. The defense could have a massive regression. If I told you 2021, they were one of the worst, and then 2022, they were one of the best. If we find somewhere in the middle, that is a regression. So I'm just giving you worst case scenario, Amal. We could see the truth about Rodgers was last year. The truth about the defense was somewhere in between 21 and 22.
I don't disagree with any of the facts that you just stated there. The one thing we'll find out with this team very quickly, despite the hard and challenging schedule, they get Philly at home, they get the Kansas City Chiefs at home. You mentioned the game at Denver. I think they'll be ready for that game just based on the comments made about Hackett. But to me, overall, even if they get off to a shaky start, guys, the back of the schedule is very, very weak. Atlanta, Washington, they've got some opportunities there down the stretch as the season concludes. I still like this team. Not going to deviate from it. Rodgers might be over the hill, but I'm going to take my shot with Rodgers in this offense.
When we return, the two of you are sleeping on a quarterback in the AFC North. And do you remember who led the league in interceptions last year? We're back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Thank goodness for G-Bank. You kids don't know what it was like trying to get down back in the day in Caraco, in Costa Rica, I assure you. Hey, get rewarded before you ever place a bet. G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. Unlike other credit cards that decline your sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the G-Bank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook accounts. So you're going to earn, and this is great, you get 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports apps downloads, so you get cash every time you load up, and then 2% on other purchases. G-Bank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSIN. That's g.bank/VSIN. As we get you back here, Nick Bruner, the pride of Boone, North Carolina. Shout to App State. Of course, DraftKings senior trader coming up in just about 15 minutes. We continue. I've got 8 questions, 8 days away from Kansas City, hosting the Detroit Lions. You excited for the kickoff? That's rhetorical. Of course, I know you are. So let's do this. I'll start giving the stats, and Amal, feel free to jump ahead on this one if you'd like and answer the question. Who am I talking about? His last full season as a quarterback, over 70% completion percentage, over 4,800 passing yards, 33 touchdowns as compared to just 7 interceptions. This year is going to be his most talented team he's played on by far. Okay. However, last year stunted 6 games. He was rusty, completed just 58% of his passes.
Deshaun.
Touchdown to interception ratio. Deshaun Watson. Exactly right. Touchdown to interception ratio 7-5. He was super rusty. If you watched the progression throughout the 6 starts, it wasn't overly promising in Stefanski's offense that year one for Deshaun Watson. This is a dude that has not played a lot of football, but I just gave you the numbers. His last full season, one of the great seasons you're going to see. I mean, and it wasn't an overly talented Texans team. Are we sleeping on Deshaun Watson, Amal Shaw?
You know, I honestly don't know. I think this is the most talented team that's probably rated 8th or 9th in a conference ever. they have enough talent to be able to challenge anyone in the AFC if Deshaun Watson plays at the level you just described. But on the flip side, what do we get out of him last year down the stretch? Didn't play particularly well. Hasn't looked great in preseason, but again, not enough to really make a judge or a snap call on. I think the upside is there for the Browns. And Patrick, to me, I don't know if there's a team. The Jets have an important week one game against the Bills, and I think the Browns have a huge, very important game against Cincinnati to get an idea of where this team's going.
For context, you mentioned the AFC, and I said the NFC was a terrible conference this year. Your fourth betting favorite at 11-1, the Detroit Lions in the NFC. Your ninth betting favorite big guy in the AFC, the Browns at 20-1. Fascinating. It's a loaded conference.
I think there's a lot of upside to be had here with the Browns. Look, you mentioned the weapons, but apparently Elijah Moore looks really good and has found a home in the slot there, and he's a guy with electric speed and wiggle that can make guys miss. Also, I think they've drafted well. David Bell a couple years ago out of Purdue is a guy who I think could still develop into a weapon. Cedric Tillman they took with their first pick of the draft this year, which I believe was in the third round this season. Offensive line is just tremendous for this Cleveland team. I really like the way they've put it together. And I like the aspect of Deshaun Watson being able to use his legs in the cold late in the season when you can add that to your repertoire as an offense. And I think you're right. He looked really, really rusty last year. By the way, the defense, I think, is going to be very good. I think defense is going to be very good in this for this team. My questions all have nothing to do with physical. They have to do with mental. Because every time something good happens, the questions will still come up of as to why he was suspended and what happened, and that will always be hanging and looming over Deshaun Watson's career. And rightfully so. I don't have an argument for it. But I question where his head is at, because he came back last year and his head didn't look right to me. And that would be my biggest questions about the limitations for this team is that.
Dustin mentioned the offensive line, Patrick. When you look at it, Jedrick Wills, Wyatt Teller, Jack Conklin. I mean, this is a very, very good offensive line. And for my money, probably, I don't know, 1A, 1B, best running backs in the NFL, and Nick Chubb. He's an absolute workhorse. The guy's incredible. And if Deshaun Watson, with this type of running game, can give you any of what he gave you again in Houston, defensively, you mentioned it, Myles Garrett. Right now, I'd probably say third best edge rusher in the NFL behind Watt and Bosa.
It's a good line. It's a really good line.
Yeah, you add in Za'Darius Smith. I like him a lot. Comes over from Minnesota. Tomlinson as well on that defensive line from Minnesota. I think this team's got a chance. You got Denzel Ward, the tremendous corner. The only problem with Ward is he only plays about 12 to 13 games a season. Doesn't give you the full 16, 17, usually speaking. But if the receivers can step up, guys, I think Cincinnati is a very good team, but I don't think they're so far ahead of Baltimore and Cleveland that if somebody wanted to take a flyer on the Browns to win this division, it is not out of the realm of possibility. We're not talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates winning the NL Central here. This is a team that you'd sit there and say, hey, watch out. They get going early on. They've got a legitimate shot.
Dustin, you're shaking your head.
I think that this division is going to be a bloodbath. I think whoever ends up winning this division, it's going to be a slim margin of a game or two. They're all going to beat up on each other. And honestly, the teams might be beat up by the time the postseason comes.
Yep. Bengals plus 140. The Ravens, DraftKings plus 235. We can talk to Nick about this. 4-1 on the Browns and the Steelers in division. AFC North sitting at 5-1. Expectations sky high for all four, if we're being fair. Look, the defense was a mess last year. But there were some key personnel additions. We know that a new coordinator, and I want to go there with Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz did a hell of a job. He won 10 games as the Lions head coach. Now, the reason Schwartz was fired in Detroit was personality issues and personality clashes with the Fords. Other than that, he's a great coach. You mentioned yesterday, he's a Georgetown grad, a brilliant guy, a fiery guy. That defense is going to be aggressive. They're much better personnel-wise. There are really good teams in the AFC North. The Browns could win this division. I mean, it's not a terribly long number. They're sitting 4-1. It really, I hate to say it because it is trite. It comes back to, are we going to get Deshaun Watson? Frankly, he did not look good in the 6 starts. Are we going to get him before the issues? And we'll just leave it there where he was in fuego. That's the question about Watson.
Yeah, and his mobility in terms of what he can do when the play breaks down, I think that's another thing you have to consider with him. But guys, when you look at the AFC North, to me, without question, this is the toughest division in football. I get the argument for the AFC East, but to me, Pittsburgh is better than New England. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals right now on paper are better than the Buffalo Bills. Baltimore's right there with the Jets, and I think the Browns are right there with the Dolphins. So I would make the argument they are in the toughest division, and a 4-1, not a bad bet, especially, you know, Dustin and I were talking this morning, Patrick. I don't know where you come out on this. Neither of us are completely convinced that Joe Burrow is as healthy as Cincinnati would lead us to believe at this point.
Yeah, the health is a concern. If he is healthy, he, to me, is your second best quarterback in the NFL.
He did practice today.
I got him right behind Mahomes.
He did.
Yeah, today was his first practice. Yeah.
But still.
And the Bengals, yeah. I mean, there are questions. 100%. Totally agree. In division, I do like, we've talked about it ad nauseum, I do like the Ravens. That's a super short number on a tough division on the Bengals. And as you two just aptly mentioned, with Burrow's injuries. Okay, this quarterback led the NFL in interceptions last year, and he played just 12 games. I think you both know who it is. It's Dak Prescott. 15 picks in 12 games. You go to the market at DraftKings, his interception prop is set at 12.5. The under is juiced minus 145. Dak Prescott will lead the league again in picks this year. Remember, offensive coordinator Kellen Moore is now obviously with the Los Angeles Chargers. McCarthy takes over the offense. Not sure that's a bump as far as good. Will he lead the league again? 15 picks, 12 games, Amal Shaw.
I'm going to say no, he won't lead the league. And you said, what was the number, 12.5?
Yeah, 12.5 for picks.
I would go under, and the reason why, I'm not completely convinced he plays and is healthy for 17 games.
Okay. Big guy.
Well, I just don't think they're going to throw the ball as much, which is why I would lean on the under on that one. Mike McCarthy still believes in establishing the run and the play action, and that was as bad as Dak has ever looked a year ago. The reason Kellen Moore is gone is because Mike McCarthy wants to control the clock and play 1997 football with Dak Prescott. So 15 a year ago for him. He's only ever gone above 12.5 one time in his career. That was his second season in the league. I could see his attempts being way down with McCarthy taking over the offense. They'll stick with that run game. I'll go under.
I'm not saying McCarthy's old school, but I think he may run the wing T this year in Dallas.
I just don't think with Pollard and Rico Dowdell that they're getting it done in the running game. You know, Pollard's a good change of pace, 10 to 12 carry a back game when you've got a Ramondre Stevenson or Ezekiel Elliott running the ball between the tackles. I'm telling you right now, they're going to find out real quick. This guy coming off a broken fibula who's a speed guy is not who they thought he was.
Yeah, sometimes finding, like, getting the chance to be number one after being the number two guy,
yes,
you find out how hard it really is to be the main guy.
Do you guys want to take a quick shot, Nick Bruner and his boys over at DraftKings, who they have as far as interception prop is the highest total? The quarterback.
Highest total. I'm going to go Jordan Love.
Amal, take a shot.
Rookie quarterback, CJ Stroud.
Josh Allen, 13.5. Last year, Allen threw 14 picks. Nick Bruner next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
NFL season right around the corner. Nonstop football action is in sight. You can get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet this great. Bet $5 and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Life's more fun when you're in on the action, don't I know, DraftKings? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app before kickoff. Use the code SHARP, and you're going to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL bet. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SHARP. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, as we welcome you back, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. Week one, we've been talking about the impact of the hurricane there in Florida. We'll continue that conversation. Cam Rising off the top, we let you know the Utah quarterback has been ruled out tomorrow against Florida. Nobody better to talk about that line movement in college football than Nick Bruner. He got out of the dungeon, which I'm guessing that's what the DraftKings trading floor is this time of the year. And he joins us in studio, of course, DraftKings senior trader, Nick Bruner, his second time on the show. Thrilled to have you in studio, Nick. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. Yeah, it's a very busy time of year, that's for sure, as we gear up for a busy year of college football. A lot of new rule changes. Looking forward to it, absolutely.
Should be a lot of fun. Go ahead, sorry.
Like, if I could just ask, and you mentioned the rule changes as far as the clock not stopping until the final two of the half. We did see unders cash, so I'm sure conversations there at headquarters about that. Let's start with the big news of the day, and that is Cam Rising not playing. I see right now you're sitting 4.5. I believe yesterday we even had a 6 early on at DraftKings, hit down to 5.5, down to 4.5 where it sits right now, Nick.
Yeah, man, last night, I want to say 8 or 9 p.m., looked like there was some information that came out about Cam Rising's availability and definitely cast some doubt into his status. We saw action immediately. We were actually at 6.5 for quite a bit yesterday, went right to 6. 5.5 didn't slow it down until we finally settled it right around 4.5, where the line had gone to about a week ago until Cam Rising kind of said, you know, I might be playing this game, and that line kind of creeped right back up to 7, but now it seems like it's pretty certain he's not going to be there with the line sitting at 4.5.
Nowadays, with teams trying to play coy like Nick Saban is doing with Alabama and the quarterback position being so important in terms of line, how hard does it make your guys' jobs in terms of potentially setting a line, whether because of injury or in week one, not knowing who the potential starter is?
I think it makes it infinitely harder, especially with college where, you know, like you said, the coaches, they don't have to tell you every little detail about an injury. So it's kind of on us as odds makers and bookmakers to move the line with the action, because there's information out there that sometimes we don't always know. So it's important to respect that sharp play and move the line accordingly.
Nick, you and I were discussing just a little bit before we started about the Heisman market. And I said, weren't we closer to 5.5, potentially 5-1 before Caleb Williams goes into week 0? And now we're 4.5-1. And you were talking about potentially some sharp money coming in right before that week 0 matchup with San Jose State.
Yes, sir. And I think a lot of that could be even schedule related with a very lighter schedule for USC to start the season, kind of anticipating some big numbers for Mr. Williams. We saw some sharp money come in on that 5-1 before that San Jose State game, and we kind of moved, shortened that price quite a bit to influence that action to go elsewhere. I mean, we love Caleb Williams. He's obviously a huge talent, dual threat guy that can put up numbers for 4 quarters if allowed to. So yeah, there was quite a bit of sharp money that came in on there. I think another guy is Sam Hartman. He proved that he's going to be in this discussion, I think, especially if Notre Dame outperforms that win total of 8.5-9. They get up to around 10, 11 wins, I think he's going to be right there too.
I would agree with you on the Hartman call. We talked about it last week. I think Sam Hartman's going to have a big year. He's a tremendous college quarterback, Patrick. And then one other name I want to throw out to you, Nick, is a guy that I love based on the odds and his team, Jordan Travis of Florida State. Legitimate dual threat, but I think this is a team, if they win 2 of their 4 September games, meaning LSU and Clemson, I think he becomes the front runner. And then if you can just kind of carry your way the rest of the way, he's going to put up touchdowns and rushing yardage. I think he's got a great shot.
Me too. At DraftKings, we're high on Florida State. We think they're a really good team. Kind of hard to see them losing more than 2-3 games. Big favorites in a lot of those games. Like you said, if they get that LSU game, they get that Clemson game, he's absolutely going to be right there with Hartman and Caleb Williams.
Hurricane Idalia. So obviously as traders, you have to start discussing something that's nebulous and something you can't really measure. And that is a bunch of college kids that are being displaced, practice indoors, then travel. Tallahassee got crushed. And Nick, now this should be plenty of time for Florida State. Let's take a look and a peek ahead at Sunday. LSU, Florida State in Orlando, where they just got heavy, heavy rain. It sounds like, I texted a friend earlier, sounds like the power's good there. But again, you do have to, there is an issue as far as human beings being participating in these games. So LSU, Florida State right now, DraftKings looks like you're 110 at 2.5 with LSU laying it.
Yes, sir. Early on, we saw some LSU money there, and I think it touched 3 for maybe a couple weeks. before that line kind of settled at that 2.5. I think it's been there for quite a bit now. There's a lot of bettors out there that think LSU might be, if not the best team in the country, right behind it. Like I said, at DraftKings, we also think Florida State is right there with LSU. And I think this line getting to 3 or 3.5, it would just get absolutely all Florida State at that price. So I'd be surprised to see it get back to 3. I think 2.5 is a pretty good number. These two teams are maybe the top 5 teams in the country. So they obviously played a very tight game last year. That could have gone either way. I expect Jordan Travis and Jaden Daniels to have two monster games against those defenses.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Nick's point about LSU being the best in the country, that was exit polling done in the state of Louisiana. I mean, look, I get the affinity for this team. They're a very good team. But for me, when I look at the SEC right now, Nick, tell me where you come out, because the Georgia Bulldogs have scheduled 9 high school teams, Tennessee and a couple others.
I think we have Georgia's average spread at 30 points this year, meaning on average, any game, they're going to be a 30-point favorite, which is obviously a cupcake schedule. Here at DraftKings, we're actually big winners on Georgia winning the title this year. Just same thing last year. It seems like bettors are shying away from the short favorite. Not too surprising there, but even Alabama at 6-1, we're kind of lacking action there as well. So we're sitting in a good spot with the two favorites.
It's almost laughable. They're plus 220, Amal, to win the national championship. Well, that's Georgia. That's insane.
Here's the thing. Last year, they go 15-0. They win the national title. They eke out the win when Harrison Jr. gets the concussion. But I believe this Georgia team is actually better this year than they were last year. However, they're going to potentially win 3 in a row, but they're not in that Miami USC category for me. I think they benefited along the way. Look, they gave up about 1 billion points in the SEC championship to Bama a couple of years ago. Last year, you get to play TCU in the national title game. I mean, that's like Miami getting to play Nebraska in 01. It's a dream come true. But the way the schedule is, what Nick referenced, guys, they don't play anybody. Tennessee's the best team they play, and their season win total is set at 9, Nick. The SEC championship, you mentioned LSU. They got embarrassed by Georgia last year. Maybe they can get things turned around. And then in the playoff, how many teams do you – let's go big picture. How many teams do you believe can win the national title this year?
A handful.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 handfuls. Maybe. I think there's a lot of unknown out there. So maybe there's some room for somebody to sneak up out of nowhere. But – usually with college football, it's the top dogs that are going to be in contention. The Alabamas, the Georgias, maybe the LSUs, but it's kind of hard to see a team from one of these mid majors or even some of the lower Power 5 schools break into the playoff. It's just the precedence is not there.
Happy to have Nick Bruner in studio, DraftKings senior trader. Of course, let's talk about a Big Ten matchup tomorrow night, which we lost the hook. So, and this was yesterday, Nebraska-Minnesota. It had been Minnesota 7.5 for a while, Nick. We're now 7. I see it painted pretty much across the board and 7 over at DraftKings with Minnesota laying it, hosting Matt Rule and Nebraska.
Yeah, I think Nebraska is a team that could be good this year, but I think there needs to be some time for a lot of that to gel and get that new system in place. Early on in the summer, we took quite a bit of money on Nebraska plus that 7.5. That line kind of trickled down to 6.5, 7 before there was some sharp play on Minnesota under the touchdown. I think the line is pretty solid now. Two teams that historically like to run the ball, play conservative, your typical Big Ten game, but very happy to see these matchups early on in the year. You know, we get tired of the 30-point favorite versus an FCS team week one, so for the Big Ten to schedule these conference games earlier in the year, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I agree. It makes it a lot more intriguing. When we come back on the other side, Patrick, I want to get his opinion on the Boise State-Washington game. These are two neighboring states. You know, in the other states around the country, they're probably not paying that close attention to this one. But interesting to see where the Broncos and where Nick thinks they are this year.
Yeah, I also want to ask Nick, kind of dancing with that 14 and 14.5 with NC State laying it on the road at UConn tomorrow. We'll get inside Nick's head on that one. Nick Bruner joins us here live off the trading floor over at DraftKings. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The updated NFL betting guide will be released tomorrow, Thursday. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSIN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide will have picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use the VSIN betting splits, and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSIN Pro for as low as $19, or you can save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Thrilled to be joined in studio by DraftKings senior trader, Nick Bruner. And we were just discussing, you know, the pitfalls or the perils of being a bettor and the navigability, if I said that correctly, boys, of an app. Aesthetically, it has to be pleasing. It has to be easy to navigate. And I believe we just realized that Dustin Sweetelson is a sadomasochist because he doesn't want anything alphabetized. He just wants to go in grab bag. Dustin, would you like to defend yourself?
Yeah, I don't need it in alphabetical order. I want it in order of the odds. Now, I know for win totals that doesn't work, but I'm talking about for like the bigger awards markets and the futures that I'm betting, like to win the Super Bowl. I don't want it in order of alphabet. I want it in order of odds. I want to see how it stacks up, who's above who.
I got a question. What difference does it make for you? You bet every team. I mean,
yeah, I need to know who's 40-1 today so I can bet them.
That's it. He does get good numbers. Okay, first off, I have to call out the obvious, and that is, Nick, you went to Appalachian State, Boone, North Carolina, up in the mountains, gorgeous. I went to South Carolina, Columbia, but what is tripping my brain out is you've got the cool haircut, okay? And I say that because of this. I have a mess. It's just a curly mess. I can't do anything cool with it. You've got the thing that all my friends down in the South Carolina, North Carolina region had, which is that cool flip over where it's just like, yeah, whatever, bro. I'll wear some khakis and a button up and I'll have my glasses on one of the whole, like you got the whole North Carolina look still going and you moved to Vegas in 2020.
Yes, sir. Shout out to DraftKings. They actually have like a barbershop in the office. It's a little bit
no
of
kidding.
A kidding. Yeah. A little bit of a trend in the office is kind of the undercut where it's a little shorter on the sides and longer up top. So it's a little trendy.
Nick, important question for you. Dustin is officially a DraftKings employee. Does he have to be present in that office daily to be able to get a haircut there? Because I want to save him money. It could just change his attitude coming into work, Patrick. I mean, getting ripped off for $80 a haircut, you just got to tip this guy $10 and you're good.
I believe the haircuts over at DK are F-R-E-E.
Dustin, I expect to see you there every 14 days.
Nick, can you confirm?
I can.
Are they free? Are they free 90 free?
I can confirm they are, and I can also confirm that a lot of work from home employees steal the time slots. Don't shoot me for saying it, but it's hard to get a haircut.
Real quick. Well, I know we have to get back to actual sports betting. Sure. The food accommodations over at this office. What are they like? Just for future reference.
We definitely get some catering on the weekends. We have a healthy rotation of Five Guys, some pizza spots. On the weekends, we get some junk food that keep everybody happy and talking, and definitely another good perk at DK.
I'll see you Saturday.
DraftKings, all kidding aside, DraftKings takes care of their employees.
No
question. I can say that. They do a great job. Okay, let's talk about, and I know, Amal, you want to get into Boise. Let me just quickly ask, tomorrow night, NC State traveling to stores in UConn, not necessarily 3-7 as far as key, but we are kind of dancing between that 14 and 14 and a half with NC State laying it on the road there, Nick.
Yes, sir. Early in the summer, I believe we opened this game at 15, but there was some other spots that were closer to actually 17 on this game. We've seen that number gobbled up, and it's sitting almost 14 across the board. I think DK is still at 14 and a half. I think it's one of those games where if it's under two TDs, you're looking for the fave, and if you're getting over two TDs, you're looking at the dog. Tough spot for NC State after a very overperforming Husky team last year with Jim Mora, and I was surprised to see they named the former Maine quarterback, I think his name is Fagnano, now the starter at UConn. I think he played for the head coach at Maine is now the OC at UConn. So some familiarity there. I also think the total has trickled down quite a bit, but that's a common theme with all the games after the rule change and seeing the week zero, some under bias. I think unders across the board are the popular selection.
A couple things you mentioned there. First of all, it's tough to lay that kind of number on the road, Patrick. You're laying a huge number there, Nick, especially going on the road. You mentioned the competitiveness of UConn last year. You know, the one thing, guys, I want to get into this and get both of your opinions on this. I am not as concerned about the clock continuously running. If you watch the game, I'm an under player, and I pay attention to the clock very closely. I'm telling you right now, guys, when they stopped the clock for the moving of the first down, it was for like 3 seconds. It was not the old days where they wait for the 98-year-old guy to reset the chain, stretch it out all right. 10 yards. You could order lunch and then run another play. This thing goes quick. I don't, in my opinion, it won't impact the totals as much as people think it is. I just think in the week zero, week one, week two games, the offenses are never with the defenses in terms of pace. And I think that's why you saw a bunch of unders. Notre Dame put up touchdowns on their first five possessions. And then the game was so flat, that's how you wound up in an under 49.5, in my opinion.
I think there was, obviously it's a small sample size, but I think there was about five fewer plays per team week zero, which is not a huge difference. I kind of do agree with you that there may be some over-adjusting to a very small sample size, but
yeah,
you also have to consider the weather across the country. A lot of windy. We mentioned the hurricane earlier, but I think there's a lot of weather concern across the board, maybe more so with wind, where that's driving these totals down. I think like in Utah, I think they're calling for like 20-mile-an-hour winds for that game against Florida. I think in the Midwest, like with Buffalo, Wisconsin, Utah State versus Iowa, there's some windy conditions out there that might also be playing a role in driving these totals down. But definitely also some bias after that week zero slate.
Did you make a big adjustment on Hawaii? The run defense obviously looked good at Vandy in a loss, but this was a team expected to be just a dreg and actually showed up well for themselves. They come back home and take on Stanford down to 3.5. Where'd you open this?
I believe we opened this at 10.
Yes, you did. Yeah, I'm looking right now. I just found it. You opened at 10 with Stanford Lane. It's all the way down to 3.5, Nick.
And it's funny you mention that, Patrick. After the first game against Vanderbilt, I will say that Hawaii was my most upgraded team of anybody that
really?
Played week zero. Yes. I was not as high on Hawaii going into the year, but after watching that game and seeing the success that they had moving the ball, there was a couple drives where they got stopped at like at the very goal line. I think with some better red zone success, Hawaii could have won that game as 17-point road dogs. After that performance, they were my most upgraded team.
I want to quickly ask you about Washington. They're 14.5-point favorite. The reason I bring this game up, huge offense, should put up a ton of points just like USC. But when you look at them defensively, there's some concerns there. Boise State, neighboring state team coming in this matchup, 14.5. And the Broncos, I'll tell you what, they just haven't been the same program for the last several years.
Right, but I think a lot of that was with the quarterback Bachmeyer that transferred to Louisiana Tech. Yep. I think when they put in Taylen Green, that offense kind of started humming a little bit. I can tell you at DK, we're fans of the Broncos. We think that they can put up a fight in this game. We think that they're going to be motivated. Like you said, it's a border state. They're going to have a lot to prove. That Washington defense did not exactly impress a ton last year. I think Boise State can hang with those guys. I really do. But bettors out there have been very bullish on Washington going into the season. The win total opened 9. We're 9.5 juiced over, I believe, now. A lot of people love Mr. DeBoer's team, the Huskies, and Penix at quarterback.
Big guy, you want to get one in here? I know you're chomping.
On Boise State and Washington, or ask about
it? No, just a question in general.
Yeah, this is the game I really want to bet it, but all my research is telling me I'm on potentially on the wrong side of it, but I still am going to bet it anyway. And that's Georgia Tech catching 8 versus Louisville. I think there's a lot of unknown pieces with Louisville. I think people are very high on Brohm in his first year. But I got to tell you, Georgia Tech played really good down the stretch for Key. They beat 2 ranked teams, Pitt and North Carolina, last one on the road, covered 3 of their last 4. Am I crazy for wanting to back the home team in the points?
No, because I think, like you said, a lot of people are really high on Louisville, but and a lot of that might be to the coaching change going from former Appalachian State coach Scott Satterfield to Jeff Brohm from Purdue, and the market has taken that as a very positive sign for the Cardinals. However, I think that is going to be a long-term process and not necessarily translate immediately, especially opening week one with a conference game on the road. I don't hate looking that way for sure.
And also Jack Plummer stinks.
Stinks.
And also, how about Nick Bruner waited until the very last minute of his appearance to mention App State? I think that's impressive for a grad. Nick, you're a natural. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season. Of course, DraftKings senior trader, Nick Bruner. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Mike Somich is next.